up and down Main Street in every single restaurant and cafe. They may be investors, they may be people looking for new jobs, people hashing out a business deal, or they may be scientists. It continuously reinforces that tribal feel.
Johannes Frihauf is the founder of Lab Central, an incubator for biotech startups in Cambridge. He's talking about the tribes of Kendall Square. Today, in our BioBoom series, the booming biotech industry is creating a new signature Boston culture. WBUR's Kerry Goldberg sets out to study this new breed in its primary habitat.
It's lunchtime at Catalyst, an upscale restaurant in Kendall Square. A burger here runs you $16, and the cavernous space is packed. Every table is taken.
Look around. What are we seeing?
Well, we're seeing the convergence of tremendous intellect and a great deal of money.
That's Jeff Krasner. He covered biotech for the Boston Globe and now has his own communications company. I ask him to break down the who's who of this biotech world. It can look intimidatingly esoteric to outsiders, and he's really good at classifying.
The three tribes of Kendall Square are scientists, entrepreneurs, and the venture capitalists who fund them. And each of these are little subcultures unto themselves, and they all have their own dress codes, and they all have their own way of speaking, and, you know, they like to get together and start life science companies.
Okay, so how can you tell who's who?
Well, like at this table over here, we see an elderly gentleman with a white beard, and he's surrounded by one, two, three, like seven people who are all in their 20s or early 30s. He's probably a senior academic who has his own lab.
And how would you be able to tell who's the venture capitalist?
Venture capitalists usually wear fancy shoes and jackets, sometimes French cuffs, never a tie, just never a tie. If you see somebody wearing a tie, they're trying to get funding for their company. They're pitching.
Of course, a person can belong to more than one tribe.
I just find it astonishing that I can get up one day, talk to a graduate student about an idea, by lunchtime be having a conversation with a venture capitalist, and by the end of the day, being asked to come to a meeting because somebody wants to start a company around that idea.
Richard Young is an MIT biology professor and a startup entrepreneur. Rubbing elbows with pharma CEOs, Nobel Prize winners, if this were old Boston, I'd say Young seems to have lofty Brahmin status. But what exactly is the social ladder here in this new Boston, and who's really at the top?
Successful serial entrepreneurs are at the top of the list.
That's Travis McCready. He leads the Massachusetts Life Sciences Center, an agency that invests hundreds of millions of dollars in biotech.
The Pollyanna would say the only thing in that hierarchy that matters is great science. But that is totally and completely naive. We are humans, and we do what humans do. We discriminate.
Meaning we make a judgment about who's most worthy of investment money.
Your pedigree matters. Under whom did you study? Whose lab did you come out of? Mm-hmm. Did you graduate from MIT, Harvard? What was your PhD in? How many publications do you have to your name?
The competition here is so intense and the energy so high that it can seem like a vortex sucking in biotech talent from all over the world. McCready says one third of the people who work in biotech here are immigrants.
If you take a look at the greater Boston area 20 years ago and compare it to the demographics of today, my guess is that the international diversity of this city is due to this industry alone.
I see plenty of that diversity at Lab Central, the biotech incubator in Kendall Square, where more than 50 startups get lab benches, freezer space, and camaraderie in their pressure cooker field. Laura Indolfi, the founder of a startup called Panther Therapeutics, says she's learning to cope with the ups and downs of science and business.
You wake up in the morning and everything is going to be great, and at lunchtime you are being the biggest failure of your life, and then dinner, it's okay, maybe I'm doing okay, tomorrow I'll worry about something else.
It's like a roller coaster, a whirlpool, an avalanche. Those are terms I hear from people in Kendall Square. They make their work life sound like fun, but often harrowing fun, full of unrelenting effort. At least they're well paid. Average biotech salaries are well into six figures, and some CEOs take home millions. But money doesn't sound like their only motivation. Abby Selnicker is a general partner at the venture capital firm Third Rock. She's been in biotech for more than 30 years.
What are we innovating for? We're innovating for patients. We're innovating to create therapeutic approaches that don't exist today and will change the lives of those patients. That is a big part of the conversation.
Among Boston biotech leaders, you don't see the kind of conspicuous consumption and flagrant classism that Silicon Valley is known for, says Damian Garday, national biotech reporter for Stat.
I'll often hear whispers, or I'll just hear in passing the exorbitant displays of wealth that biotech people have, but it's something that they kind of keep under wraps. They're absolutely hanging out on their compounds on the Cape. They're just not tweeting about it.
Big picture, Garday says, the biotech culture of Kendall Square has become mainstream.
It's part of the fabric of Boston now. It isn't this grafted-on thing. It is now multi-generationally a local industry, the same way medicine has been for a long time, the same way academia has been for a long time now to this.
But the full impact of these new tribes may take a while to become clear. Travis McGreedy from the Life Sciences Center offers this provocative thought. The Massachusetts public school system is already considered the best in the country, but
tens of thousands of type A, brilliant scientists from all over the world send their kids to our schools. Do you not think that there's going to be like a downstream effect?
Oh, yes. In demands for better education and other areas, the culture of the bio boom will surely shape the broader culture here for many years to come. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Carrie Goldberg.
For a primer on the language and jargon that's common in Boston biotech circles, go to our website, WBUR.org. Tomorrow in our series, correspondent Richard Knox reports on the biggest challenge facing the bio boom, how to fairly price and pay for miracle drugs.
If you treat one person with Luxturna, you've spent as much money that year as you would have spent covering 32 families of four with commercial insurance.